And although I know he loves coming in to do his money spots with us, I think Dave Penny would rather be somewhere else today than among all the very sick people that are here. This is like a building full of people sneezing and coughing.
It's like being in a hospital. I need some of that wipe stuff for
you
my
do.
Hands.
We should get some of those for the walls, yeah. I was in Musgrove the other week and they got loads of them all over the place, as you would expect.
We need some here.
Yeah, we need some here as well. Hello, Dave.
Good morning.
Nice to have you with us. Dave Penny is our Money Talks expert, managing director at Invest Southwest Independent Financial Advisors in Taunton. I sound like an advert, don't I?
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Please gamble responsibly. Now, you are here to talk about all sorts of things, but one thing I definitely want to talk about with you is something we're going to focus on a little later in the show with a housing expert called Henry Pryor. It's about the Bank of Mum and Dad, which is becoming more and more of a significant factor in people getting on the housing ladder, getting that loan, you know, interest-free loan from your parents. I mean, it's more and more people are going down that line, aren't they?
Yeah, without sounding too grand, it sort of combines two socioeconomic factors, one of which is massive rises in house prices in the last few decades, which people who are parents have benefited from, and then all the debt and the cost of being young and university fees and getting married and buying houses. Those two put together, we find a lot of mortgages now are being backed by parents, either by just giving them some money if they have any spare cash, or by downsizing their own house, so buying a smaller house and releasing equity, or even doing equity release. But for so many youngsters nowadays, the only chance of getting on the housing ladder is with help from the parents.
Is there some special consideration you should have about doing that from a financial point of view? Is there a good way or a bad way to do it?
Oh, well, there are all kinds of risks. Whenever there's a significant transfer of funds across, you know, you often have parents saying, that's okay, I trust little Johnny, or, you know, but you have, you know, children have divorces, or they marry someone who's a bad person, or you have to basically, as a parent, think this money is gone. It's gone to my child. Sometimes parents say, that's all right, I can get it back if I need it, but that's very, very risky. So gifting money is fine as long as you consider it a gift. In terms of considerations, well, if you have an inheritance tax liability, for example, if you have a big estate and you gift money and die within 7 years, that could be liable to tax. So yes, there are considerations, and it is always worth seeking advice on the issue.
So gifting money, if it's a gift, there's no tax?
Not on the gift, but if I subsequently die within the next 7 years as the parent, and I have an inheritance tax liability, then potentially there'll be a 40% tax on that transfer of assets.
Okay.
So that can be, you know, a problem.
And if you're giving that money to someone and then they're paying you back for it, how does that work?
Then that would be not a gift, it would be a loan. In which case, then, as long as there's some evidence of the fact it is a loan, it wouldn't be a transfer of an asset. It would be something completely different. So a gift is purely giving the money away and having no further call upon the money. Mm. If you're being repaid, then it's a loan, and that's completely different.
And that sounds to me like, if you want to do it properly, if it's a large amount of money, you need to go through some paperwork, do you?
If it's a loan, then yes, some evidence, even just a handwritten note, so describing what the loan is and the interest rates and so on, that would help. Otherwise, you know, if you were to die and you do have an inheritance tax liability, Revenue and Customs might say that's a gift actually, and you owe 40% tax on that.
If you have done this, we're going to talk more about it later in the show. I'd love to hear some examples of it and whether it's worked for you and your family. Do give me a call on 0345 303 1566 and call that number as well to ask Dave any questions you want. He's here to answer all sorts of things. I mean, we like to throw things at you, don't you?
Yes, it keeps me on my toes.
On my toes, yeah. So we could talk about all sorts of things from savings, investments and pensions are the usual sort of fodder that we discuss.
Yeah, but anything you like.
Okay, good. What sort of things have cropped up recently that you think are on the agenda of a lot of people?
Something that always worries me in this country is the absence of where people can go to get advice on their finances. And we've heard in the last couple of weeks that both NatWest and Yorkshire Building Society are making all of their financial advisors redundant. That is, unless you have more than £250,000 to invest. So it's getting even worse. There are even less advisors out there for people, and that really worries me. Particularly, I come across clients who say, I put some money in with the bank in an investment, it goes up and it goes down. I've got nowhere to turn to now. I've got no one to ask how it's doing. I'm really worried about, with the European referendum, am I going to lose all my money? I'm terrified. And the banks have withdrawn that ability for someone to help them on that fact. I think it's almost the next big mis-selling scandal. capital. You put into something risky, and then any help is withdrawn. So I would say to people who do experience that, go on to somewhere like unbiased.co.uk and look around for a financial advisor who will give you at least half an hour of their time for free and just get a look at it. Don't leave money in fluctuating investments, which might go down, without someone helping you to make sure it's the right thing for you.
So the sort of flip side of that, though, is that there is so many places you can go now online where you can get a lot of advice, a real spread of advice. So if you look hard enough, and if it's something that's as important to you as your finances, then it's your responsibility, isn't it, to dig out that information for yourself?
It is absolutely true, and the online solution is getting better. There's a term called robo-advice, which you hopefully increasingly over the years, there'll be better ways of seeking advice online. A good one is the Money Advice Service, which is the government's scheme, which is kind of, again, unbiased, not trying to sell anything. Often, of course, these online things, they are trying to sell something, so there's an angle sometimes about what they're trying to push, and you need to be careful. But yes, it's your responsibility. But the one thing I would say is don't bury your head in the sand. Do something about it.
Isn't the Money Advice Service coming to an end?
But it's been radically changed, that's
right. Yeah, it's been changed,
And hopefully replaced with something better.
Is it fitting into pension-wise in some ways?
Yes, they're combining the advisory services. Yes, I think the online solutions will be ever-evolving, to be honest with you.
Okay, we have a question about a will from Ina, who's on the line in Wales. Hi, Ina.
Hi, Ben.
Morning, Dave's with you. What do you want to ask him?
What I want to know is, can I make a very small alteration to my will without having to go to a solicitor?
Gosh, good morning, Ina.
Good morning. That's
a good question. I mean, ultimately, anyone can write their own will and they can change their own will. So it can be theoretically on the back of a fag packet, as they say.
I've got a proper will.
Okay. The more you take it into your own hands, the more you leave matters open to litigation and dispute. So there's all kinds of issues about witnesses and whether you have capacity. And we've seen more and more nowadays wills and amendments to wills being disputed in the courts. So I would suggest that you do go to a professional, because the chances of the amendment you make working become much slimmer if you do it yourself.
Right.
That makes sense, Ina.
Yes, it does.
And we've been talking about, just to sort of change tact slightly, we've been talking about the greatest sporting achievement of all time.
Yeah.
And you want to talk about your grandson?
Well, my grandson, they're 13.
Yeah.
And there was 100 school teams went to Exmoor on Saturday. They did a 12-mile hike. And out of the 100 teams, they came first.
Oh, I love it. Right, we're putting that right up there with Leicester City, I know.
Yes, right? That's right. I thought that is Leicester City.
I love it. Ida, thank you very much. Ida in Wales. So if you've got a question for Dave, it's 0345 303 1566. I'm going to throw you a curveball now. Before 10, maybe we could, because it feels like a good time of year, be it going into spring cleaning, all that kind of rubbish, to sort of kind of do a spring clean of your finances and look at the areas where maybe you can save money. Because I always think there are areas in your life where you can save money. So I'm thinking of things like calling up your TV provider or your broadband and working out whether you're on the right deal, mobile phones, switching energy providers, all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. So do you want to have a little think? We'll play a song and then we'll come back and see if we can get a Dave Penny financial spring clean on the go. Does that sound good?
Right, yes.
We'll do it. 12 Olympics. The greatest sporting achievement of all time, Dave Penny, is it Leicester City's title?
Well, actually, whenever I hit a golf ball and don't lose it, I consider that to be a massive...
that is a big achievement.
That's my big one, really.
Keep getting in touch. 81333 to text and start with Somerset for that. And also to speak to Dave about financial matters. We'll speak to Sheila in just a second and get her question about savings. But it's 0345 303 1566 to call.
Sunday night on BBC One.
This is just huge fun.
Sunday night at 7 on BBC One.
10 to 10 now, and this is BBC Somerset with Ben McGrail and Dave Penny with me on Money Talks. Dave is our independent financial advisor from Invest South West in Taunton. He comes in every month to give you some good tips. We'll get his financial spring clean advice for you shortly, but Sheila's on the line first of all. Hi, Sheila.
Hi, good morning.
And you're on with Dave. What do you want to ask?
We've got a small amount of investments in ISAs, which we obviously can invest in the company where we want, or who we want, and we make an agreement with them. If we stay within the EU, can they take control of that and, make it different to what we've got, or you know, by taking control, can they say, well, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you can't do this anymore?
Good morning, Sheila.
Good morning.
I think the simple answer to your question is no, they can't. The ISAs are governed by UK institutions, by the Financial Conduct Authority and the Revenue and Customs and so on. So, no, I don't think you're going to find any kind of EU institution imposing rules or taking your money from you. What I would say is that if we do vote to leave the EU, then that's going to create some volatility. So if you have money invested in fluctuating investments, you might find that their value is hit, albeit maybe in the short term. So
yes.
I don't see a long-term worry particularly, but no, your money can't be taken by the Europeans, I don't think.
No, but what they try to do is to say, well, you've got to do this and you've got to invest here. My concern is that is what will happen, and you won't have the freedom to do it. It will be controlled by them.
Well, you do sometimes find that the style of a fund manager changes for whatever reason. It might even be Brexit. Mm. But if that were the case, then you have the right to remove that money and put it with somebody else who you do like.
Right.
So, yes, you might find there are changes, but nothing that you could lose control over.
No, I think it's a short-term thing, whichever way it goes. But I do feel that the EU is trying to take over our financial system from the City of London.
Well, I think this is actually something that in a month's time, when Dave comes on next time, Sheila, that will be our main focus for that entire morning. We'll do a big morning on the financial impact of the big EU decision.
Yeah.
But it's a really good point you've brought up, and thank you for that.
It's a big issue, isn't it? Certainly.
And just on a point of protection of ISAs, pretty much all the banks, all the major banks that you use, if you have an ISA, there's a certain limit of savings that's protected. Is it 75 grand?
It's the Financial Services Compensation Scheme. It depends what kind of ISA you're talking about, but yes, it's well into the tens of thousands, yes.
Okay. 0345 303 1566 to call Dave today if you want any money advice from him. Financial spring clean, then. You've been scribbling away on your paper. What ideas have you got for us as to things to do at this time of year that would help out and maybe save you a few quid?
Do you know, the headline for my suggestions will be disloyal, be unfaithful. It's incredible how many people say, well, I've been with my bank for 20 years, or I've been with this insurer for 10 years, I think I should be loyal to them. Absolutely do not, because the institutions, the banks, the insurers won't be loyal to you. They'll give you worse rates the longer you're with them. So my theme would be disloyal. Sometimes they call it being a rate tart, but either way, don't stay with a firm just because you were with them last year. A good way to start that process is to do a monthly budget. Go through your bank statement and work out what you're spending monthly on things. You might often find, I find with clients, sometimes they're paying for insurance twice over, either life insurance or even car or home insurance. They've got more than the policies that they need. So just looking at your bank statements, doing a budget, that's the first thing. It will give you an understanding then to look at what you're spending your money on and where to try and shave costs. But yes, switching your bank, certainly your utilities and all your insurances, I would do that once a year, because particularly insurance and car insurance, home insurance, they bump the premiums up as the years go by.
Mm.
So be disloyal, because no one in the world of commerce has been loyal to you.
And you often get, when we talk about this on air, and I'm a big advocate of switching, I just switch my utilities provider and my bank account. First time in 18 years that I've been in with any other bank other than the one I was with. And it feels so liberating moving on and realising that actually you can move to another company that provides excellent customer service, which is the main thing, and just better products as well, and cheaper.
Yes, I mean, I do think with bank accounts that there are so many short-term offers. So, we get for 12 months, we'll give you this percent or that percent. In the scheme of things, over a lifetime, I don't think you're going to make much money on those kind of things.
No.
For banks, when your money's coming in and going out, and getting it right is so important, I would put customer service at the top of the list rather than squeezing the extra pound or percent here and there. And there are some banks who have appalling customer service, and there's probably one that has really good customer service. So I would chop around on that basis if it's banks.
Yeah, very easy to find good websites that give sort of an independent spread of customer service, particularly for banks, but also for utility providers. You can simply put your accurate information in your usage in kilowatt per hour.
Exactly,
and it will tell you how much you could save through a year.
Yes, and there are also, actually I've also recently changed my energy providers, and there are those who, if you're interested, have environmental benefits as well. So again, you might not choose to go for the absolute cheapest. You might go for one that uses only renewable energy, and you can do that too. My house consumes only renewable energy now, and not very expensively.
Right, thank you very much for that, because actually those little changes that you can make feels a bit daunting, doesn't it, first of all, to go through all your payments and all your statements, but once you get a grip on your finances, it's very calming.
It is.
Removes anxiety. Yeah.
There's that kind of, lots of folks don't even open their letters from financial firms because they're nervous of it, but once you get a grip of it, it is very empowering.
We do have some more good news. I mentioned earlier mobile phone roaming charges, and
yes.
This came out, was it yesterday or was it Sunday?
May, I think, from Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, so this is going to make a big difference, especially if you go abroad and you want to use your mobile phone.
Yes, previously when you connected to anything, data or text or telephone's network in the EU, for an outgoing call, you'd be charged 16.5% to 16.5 pence to connect.
Mm.
That's now come down to 4 pence. For data download, you'd be charged 17.4 pence. That's now down to 4 pence. So the EU has imposed fair charging structure when you go travelling around the EU. It's not often you hear good news stories about the EU, is it?
No. next month we will focus, as I say, sort of big time on the EU, just to give us a little flavour ahead of that. What do you think the main issues that people will want to consider when it comes to making that decision? Being as impartial as you possibly can.
Yes, I know. Obviously, I'm a money man, and I think that people want to know whether or not they are better off or worse off as a result of being a member of the EU.
Mm.
And I think the other one that you hear lots about is immigration, isn't it, and the movement of workforces. I think those are the two issues. There was an American politician who was fighting an election, and they asked him what is the main factor in winning the election, and his response was, it's the economy, stupid. So basically it's almost, you know, it's money in our pockets which is the biggest powerful force in how we vote.
And that will be our big conversation next month, I think, so we'll line up to that. Dave, thank you very much, some good advice today.
You're welcome.
Man. Thank you. Dave Penny, Managing Director of Invest Southwest Independent Financial Advisors in Taunton, our Money Talks expert every month.